Welcome to the Lord's house this rather windy, wet day. Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week here at Berry Christian Church. Thursday night, we will have a Maundy Thursday service at 7 here at the church. The church office will be closed Friday for Good Friday. Easter sunrise services at 7:15, followed by breakfast that is always provided by the Ekrit family, and we greatly appreciate their breakfast, especially if it's because it's too early for us to eat before we come to, is it 7 or 7:15?
7?
Okay. I've seen it written twice, two different times, so. All right. Sunrise service at 7. 7:15 for breakfast. And they always do a great job. Thank you, Ekrit family. The complete schedule for Easter morning and Holy Week is in your bulletin, so please check that out. We will have the flowering of the cross for both services next Sunday. 10 o'clock Saturday, we will gather in the fellowship hall to help prepare the flowers, the cut flowers that will go into the flowering of the cross. So if you are available and can help with that, we'd greatly appreciate it. Education committee, please remember we are decorating the children's classrooms during that time for their Easter party for next week. There are information sheets available in the back for both VBS and for summer camp. Please, if you have any interest in any of the summer camps for your children, for your grandchildren, for yourselves, please let us know, as the education committee, along with a couple of other committees in the church, have agreed that there should be no cost to any of our participants this year. So the church is covering all of the expenses for anyone who wants to go to camp. So please let us know. Registration needs to be completed by April 30th. And there is a board meeting today after immediately after service. So chairpersons, elders, deacons, please stay. It shouldn't take very long. There's no huge agenda items to cover. We're going to try and catch everybody up on the events that are going on and how things are progressing. I believe that's all we need this morning. And Ryan, would you lead us, please?
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. I invite you to stand for the call to worship today. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
Hosanna to God. Hosanna in the highest.
The Lord is our strength and our might.
Hosanna to God. Hosanna in the highest.
The Lord has become our salvation. Hosanna in the highest. We'll now sing hymn number 192, all stanzas of All Glory, Laud, and Honor.
All glory, laud, and honor to you, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children made sweet hosannas ring. You are a child of Israel, great David's greater son. They sing their hymns rule in our hearts today.
Please join me in prayer. O God, like the crowds who welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem, we offer you our songs, our praise, and our adoration. But we also worship this day fearful of what this week might reveal to us about ourselves. Open our ears to your teaching. Shape us that we might be your obedient people. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
Well, it's chilly outside, but it's warm in here. So take a moment and share that warmth with someone around you. Greet them in the Spirit of Christ.
Yeah. Well, that was adorable. I get to follow that. Hi, I am Gail Gentry, and I am co-chairman of the elders, and we are bringing you the pastoral concerns, and I have a lot of them. So we'll start out with Sue Effie. Doris McGeehee saw her yesterday, and she was doing much better, and her surgery they first thought would be to replace a heart valve, but they wound up just repairing it. So that was good news, and she's walked a short distance, but she is going to be in the ICU for at least a couple more days probably, but she is making good progress, so we're glad to hear that. Jerry Donahue is at home, and he is doing okay, but he's been very weak. They're starting to give him dialysis slower in hopes that he will feel better, because he was having his dialysis, it was making him sick, and so they're kind of trying to figure out a better schedule for that. Russell Stewart will begin his chemotherapy this week, but he is feeling better, and he was actually at first service today, so that was really good to see him. He said he wanted to get out before his immune system goes down from the chemotherapy, so we were glad to have him at first service today. Luella Scott, bless her heart, is doing about the same. She remains in hospice at North Kansas City, so we keep her and her family in our prayer. Connie Stark's father, Lou Embry, had a fall and has a compression fracture in his back. And Connie said that they're going to give him a shot next week to hopefully alleviate that pain. Jerry and Peggy Treese's son-in-law, John Mitchell, is having a hip replacement this Thursday. And now to tell you about Pastor Dennis. Doug, my husband, and Kim Pouquet and myself were down there for the day of the surgery, and we were with Carrie. And it was a long surgery, 4 hours. The doctor came out and said that Dennis did very well. The surgery went very well. But Dennis then developed problems with his blood pressure, and it was just going way low. And so they kept him in ICU. They kept him last night in ICU. He's hopeful that he'll get out today into a room, but he'll probably be in the hospital several more days. But anyway, the surgery did go very, very well for him. At this point, they don't know if he's going to do an inpatient rehabilitation or he'll be able to go home, but just to be determined. We also heard that Carolyn Phipps fell and broke her tailbone. That was very unfortunate. And we also heard today that Dave Tarver, they're on vacation, he fell while they were in Nashville, and he landed on his hip, and he was going to go to the ER to get that checked out. And hopefully it'll be okay, and he'll move on. We haven't heard any more from him on that, but hopefully it's not broken. The other thing I was going to tell you, our homebound people are being visited this month by the elders that are serving for this month. And I think that's very, very positive and very good, because a lot of them haven't been able to see anyone or get communion. So I just wanted you to know that that's been taking place this month as well. We pray for all of these people. We pray for healing and comfort, as well as many others who are recovering from illness and surgery and loss. Thank you.
I invite you now to be in an attitude of prayer as we take to God the concerns on our hearts, the ones that have been mentioned this morning, as we take time to not only speak to God, but to listen to the Spirit this morning. Let us pray. O God, on this Palm Sunday, we, along with your children around the world, recall a procession into Jerusalem and a lonely leader who rejected fame and wealth and comfort to finish a painful job that he had already begun. O God, so many moments sound forth your presence among us, and thus we rejoice when despair is overcome by hope, when the season of indifference gives way to warmth and tenderness, when the warm breezes of spring quicken our forgotten energies, when a friend says that right thing only a friend could say to us, when our prayers at last are answered. However you signal your life among us, O God, whenever your goodness appears to us, we give you thanks for that. As Christ entered the city, vast crowds rejoiced to see him and cried out ancient longings for peace. And, O God, even now we pray for peace. We'd ask that you deliver us from narrow nationalism that poses as love of country, from bearing false witness against other nations and peoples, from violence of terrorism and curse of war, from the human sin that builds enmity among the peoples of your earth. We remember today those killed in the Moscow concert attack. We remember our brothers and sisters in Ukraine and in Gaza. O God, make keen the minds and strong the hands of those in all nations who work for peace, that we may learn to live together in your love. On this Sunday, we rejoice with our hosannas and palms, but we know that Friday will bring a cross and cries for crucifixion. As we begin this holy week, we pray that you will send your Spirit upon us, that we may walk the way of the cross bravely and honestly. Keep our eyes upon the one whom comes in the name of the Lord, and do not let us look away in fear or shame. Quiet the small concerns that might distract us from this pilgrimage. Comfort those who tremble in the shadow of death. Give direction to those who are confused, that we may together walk from the shadows of betrayal through a dark tomb and into the brilliance of resurrection hope through Jesus Christ, the one who taught us these words to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Oh, son of blessed is he that comes.
this week, above all others, captures the themes of death and life, sorrow and triumph, humility and victory. Today we remember Jesus riding into Jerusalem as Savior, and later this week we will remember Jesus as the humble servant who washed the feet of his disciples and then was betrayed by his friends. We will remember Jesus, the condemned man, dying on a cross. And then next Sunday, we will remember Jesus victorious over all sin and death and darkness. Here at this table of communion, we also remember death and life, sorrow and triumph, humility and victory, betrayal and reconciliation. We come remembering Jesus' broken body and shed blood, but we also remember our hope in the resurrection of Christ. A royal feast is now spread before us, and all of us are invited. At Christ's table, all means all, regardless of church affiliation or denomination. Come and eat of the bread of life and drink from the cup of blessing.
As guests invited, when Jesus bids us dine, his friends on earth united to share the bread and wine. The bread of life is broken, the wine is in solemn token of Christ our dying Lord. One bread is ours for sharing, one single fruitful vine, our fellowship sustained and given by token, sign, and word, with a pledge and seal of heaven, the love of Christ our Lord.
When Jesus was with his friends in the upper room, on the last night of his life, he took some bread, he blessed it, and he broke it. He gave it to the disciples, and he said, "Take and eat, for this bread is my body, broken for you, given for you. Take and eat, and remember me." And then he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new agreement, the new covenant in my blood. Take and drink, all of you, in remembrance of me, the gifts of God for the people of God."
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, as we gather around this table today, we remember Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Yet, only a few days later, he was hung on the cross as the sacrificial lamb to take our sins away. Please bless this loaf and this cup, which symbolizes Jesus' broken body and spilt blood that was given that we might have eternal life. Guide and lead us as we prepare to participate in Holy Week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
not garments spread on dusty roads, but checks and dollars and gifts made electronically. Those are the kind of offerings that we can offer. May they be symbols of our readiness to glorify Christ and extend his ministry. Let us worship God now with the receiving of God's tithes and offerings. O God, accept these, our gifts, and the dedication that they represent. Inspire their use, that through them your love may touch others. In Jesus' name, amen. It is good to be back with you. I ask that you bear with me. I'm fighting some spring allergies, so I'll try not to snap, crackle, or pop, or sneeze, sniffle, and cough. So, the text this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, the 19th chapter. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find there tied a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say that the Lord needs it." So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they said, "The Lord needs it." Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." A fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty "Hi-ho, Silver," the Lone Ranger, with his faithful Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plain, led the fight for law and order in the early Western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past comes the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again. Is this our Sunday to celebrate the ride of a Lone Ranger? Well, Jesus is certainly alone. I mean, nobody believes what he believes. Nobody sees what he sees. Not even his disciples see him as he sees himself. Alone in a sea of misunderstanding, Jesus is experiencing the worst possible kind of loneliness. And Jesus does ride in to town on an animal, not a horse with the speed of light, not a steed mighty as its master, but on a colt, a donkey, as humble as the teacher who is astride him. And the stranger's identity is addressed not with one person saying, "That's the Lone Ranger," but with a multitude of disciples declaring, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Now, Jesus wasn't a Texas Ranger, but he was a champion of justice, a prophet of justice who stood with the poor against the rich, who insisted that the true troubles of Israel's peace are not the ignorant and the cruel, but the intelligent and the corrupt. People like the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees, the leaders of the people themselves. So Jesus is a prophet who preached love and compassion and nonviolence. Now, Palm Sunday is similar to Christmas and Easter in that we have different accounts of the event. And just as we do in the retelling of Easter and Christmas, we have a tendency to combine pieces of the various stories into one blended scene. Palm Sunday services, then, they do draw from all the Gospels. John contributes the palm branches. Matthew provides the prophecy from Zechariah. The Gospel of Mark, along with Matthew and John, contribute the shouting crowds. Luke's account follows Mark pretty closely, but there are significant differences. I wondered if you picked up on any of those when you heard the text. Luke's portrait of Palm Sunday is more subdued. It's less crowded, less noisy. Absent from Luke's telling are the hosannas and the branches cut from the trees. Did you notice that? The story is told with an emphasis upon the disciples. This is really more of a disciples' event than a burst of enthusiasm on the part of a great crowd. It is the disciples who set Jesus on the colt. They're the ones who spread their garments on the road and who rejoice and praise God. Christ is hailed as king by his followers first and not by the general public. Jesus' followers didn't understand him or the nature of his messiahship, but neither are they persons who sing praises and then scream death within the same week. There is no fickle crowd in Luke's Palm Sunday. However, one thing that Luke alone contributes is this very brief exchange between Jesus and the Pharisees. After witnessing the disciples hailing Jesus as king, some of the Pharisees say, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." Jesus says, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." Now, in the musical Jesus Christ Superstar, this exchange sounds like this. Now, I'm going to spare your ears by not trying to sing it. Caiaphas says to Jesus, "Tell the rabble to be quiet. We anticipate a riot. This common crowd is much too loud. Tell the mob who sing your songs that they are fools and that they are wrong. They are a curse. They should disperse." Jesus says, "Why waste your breath moaning at the crowd? Nothing can be done to stop the shouting. If every tongue was still, the noise would still continue. The rocks and stones themselves would start to sing. You see, even though Luke tells us of a rather modest parade, the public demonstration evokes an objection by the Pharisees. Now, we're not told what their objections were, whether they were due to disagreement or envy or fear of political repercussions or some other motive. And Jesus doesn't identify the problem that the scene generates for the Pharisees. He simply states in a very clear way the appropriateness of his disciples' praise. If these were silent, the stones would shout out. In other words, opposition to Christian witness cannot stand and cannot succeed. God's truth cannot be silenced. God will find a way to bring forth a witness even if every mouth is silenced. Some things must be said. Now, if all the preachers all over the world today suddenly lost their voices this morning, while some people think that's a good thing, if that happened, it wouldn't matter because Palm Sunday would still happen with the voices and the hearts of laypersons. Jesus would still be hailed as the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And if everyone was silent, God would still find a way. You see, there are some things that just have to be told. You ever had news that you had to tell? You just had to tell somebody. Maybe you met someone special. You became engaged. You are expecting a child or a grandchild. Or you've got pictures of your grandkids that you want to share. Do you want to see some? I can show. Maybe you had some good luck. Something that you just had to share. You just can't stop the message of what God is doing in Christ. No one could then and no one can now. As followers of Jesus, we have so much about which to shout. We have grace and forgiveness to shout about. We offer a rich life focused not in self-absorption, but in servanthood. We can tell of a God who loves us no matter what, who longs to be in relationship with us. And we, as disciples of Christ, can shout that as God has welcomed us, so we welcome all in our differences, in our differences in age and ability and physical condition, differences in race or cultural backgrounds, economic status, sexual orientation, gender identity, family structures, all are welcome because God welcomes all of us. The disciples were right to offer their praise and their thanksgiving to Jesus. Do you recall a few weeks ago when we talked about what really grinds Jesus' gears? We heard John's account then, but Luke tells us that Jesus' encounter in the temple happens during Holy Week. Remember, he walks into the temple, takes charge, turns over the tables of the money changers. He tells them that they've made a mockery of his father's house. Those maligned money changers, what were they doing in church? They were there offering a service. They were there selling the doves and the lambs, changing people's money so that they could get to the altar and offer their sacrifices. They were helping people get close to God. But here comes Jesus telling them they're no longer needed. Now there's another way to get close to God. When this Lone Ranger rides into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, a multitude of the disciples hail him as king, the king who comes in the name of the Lord. No wonder the Jerusalem political establishment, King Herod and Pilate and all their cohorts, no wonder they shook in their boots. It's one thing for someone to prophetically preach to the king. It's another thing for Jesus to swing in, take charge, and be the king. And that's something to cheer about. Jerusalem came to the parade thinking that they had seen a prophet, a great spokesperson for God. And before the parade ended, many saw God. And I think that's why we're here today. Even if we don't know, that's why we're here. We need God We don't need any more good advice or more challenging words, any more scolding or berating or moralizing. We need God, and that's what we want to see, and that's why we stand on tiptoes, hoping to get a glimpse. Jesus turned over the tables of the money changers because now there was going to be a new commerce between us and God. No longer need we offer our petty sacrifices, our puny little offerings, in an attempt to get close to God. In this one who rides into town on the back of a donkey, God has gotten close to us. Now he will go to the throne on our behalf as our priest, our intercessor, our savior. When he dies on the cross at the end of the week, the whole world heaves because what he is about is large, it's cosmic. And when he dies, Luke says the veil of the temple was ripped from top to bottom, the veil separating us from the living God. It was ripped because in Jesus we now are brought close to God. Nothing separates us then from that love. That's why seeing him moving in a parade toward our city, toward us and our need, we don't need to ask, who was that masked man? But we can proclaim, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. We conclude our service today with the singing of our hymn of invitation. We issue that invitation today, as we do each Sunday, to anyone who feels called by the Spirit of God to unite in fellowship with us here at Berry Christian Church. You may do that through transfer of membership or through first-time confession of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. If God has touched you in that way, please come forward as we stand and sing together.
Come thou, almighty King, help us thy name to sing, help us to praise one God, all glorious, or all victorious. Come and reign over us, Ancient of Days. Evermore, thy sovereign majesty may we in glory see, and to eternity love and adore.
I'm pleased to announce that Dave and Roxy Jones come this morning to transfer their membership from Grace Baptist into Berry Christian Church. They've been attending for a while and decided to make it official today. So Dave, I ask you that question that Christians from all the centuries have been asked. Do you reaffirm your belief that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and do you continue to accept him as Lord and Savior?
Amen.
For that. Thank you for the reaffirmation. And Roxy, I ask you the same question. Do you believe, to continue to believe, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and do you continue to accept him as Lord and Savior of your
life? I sure do, absolutely.
God bless you for that reaffirmation of faith. I'm going to ask them to join me at the back so that you can give them an official Berry greeting. Let us go forth now into this Holy Week to sustain the weary with God's Word, to stand with those who are misunderstood and abused, to minister to those who suffer, and to connect with those who are feeling isolated. May the love of God, the peace of Christ, and the presence of the Spirit be with us all. Amen.
righteousness, make thy way plain. Be